ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. ബ്രജ്വാസി കാൽക്കുലേഷൻസ് അന്നക്കൂട്ട്. So welcome all of you at a beautiful place called Petagaon. Petagaon also is called in Sanskrit as Pravishtavan. And this village comes in the longer parikrama of Govardhan. There is a parikrama of Govardhan which is 22 kilometers, which is alongside Kusum Sarovar and all the places, Govind Kund and everywhere. But this is a 40 kilometer parikrama, which Sanatana Goswami would do every day. And Pravishtavan and Chandra Sarovar comes in that parikrama. Nowadays nobody does this parikrama because it's very difficult. Nowadays they also do the 22 kilometer parikrama also in two parts, Choti Parikrama and Badi Parikrama. Choti Parikrama starts from Radha Kund and goes down Ghati and again goes back Uddhav Kund and Radha Kund back. Bigger Parikrama begins at Dand Ghati, goes to Govind Kund, Pushtika Lota, Jatipura and comes back to Govardhan again. But generally, our Guru Maharaj does Parikrama which is beginning from Kusum Sarovar and going for longer Pushtika Lota and coming back to Kusum Sarovar. Sri Govardhan Parikrama is considered to be worshipping the lotus feet of Govardhan. Wherever we do parikrama to anything, any personality or any tulsi lamp or tulsi plant, the concept is serving the lotus feet. And Giriraj parikrama is considered to be the most powerful parikrama in the whole universe. By doing it, not only we worship Govardhan Parvat, lotus feet, not only we get freed from all the contaminations, but we get abundance of mercy in the form of love of Godhead, Prema Bhakti. So from ages, from beginning of creation, from the point Krishna did Govardhan Parikrama for the first time, the first person to do Govardhan Parikrama is Sri Krishna himself. He has inaugurated the Parikrama first time. And today is the day he did Parikrama of Govardhan. So we are very fortunate to be here on the same day where Krishna performed his first parikrama around Govardhan. It is a little foggy there. Otherwise, when we sit down here, we can also get darshan of Govardhan on this side, at the back of your side. But in the course of time, by the mercy of the Lord, he will be revealed and manifested to your eyes, Sri Giriraj. So, briefly, I will narrate the story how did Krishna perform Parikrama today. All of you know that Indra Puja was planned by Vijvasis as every year. And Indra Puja was being, the preparations were going very nicely. Everybody was very busy, Nanda Maharaj and all the gopis. And Krishna comes in the whole arena of preparations and inquires what is going on, what is the event. So that time Nanda Maharaj tells, every year we perform Indra Puja, because Indra is our king of demigods and he showers rains. Because of his rains, grains and grass come from the ground, and because of that our cows eat and we eat. When the cows eat, they give milk and they give, afterwards we make butter and yogurt from that. And thus our sustenance of existence is because of the mercy of Lord Indra, and we want to offer our thankfulness to him, gratefulness, by performing a sacrifice, and he will receive his share and he will be happy and we will keep getting rains. Somehow after hearing this idea, Krishna was not happy. Krishna felt that why should you worship Indra? It is his duty to give water. As per the order of the Supreme Lord, he has to give water. Even if you don't give him any oblations, still he will give water. He is supposed to give water. Even if you don't worship Vayu, are you worshipping Vayu? You are not worshipping Vayu, but still Vayu is giving air to breathe. Are you worshipping Varun Dev? No. But still Varun Dev is giving ponds and oceans and rivers. So why especially we have to worship Indra? So he defeated the idea what Nanda Maharaj proposed. And Nanda Maharaj also got convinced. First of all, he didn't get convinced. He was arguing, no. Krishna said, why to worship him? Our Lord is Govardhan. Govardhan is providing grass to our cows and beautiful places. And cows graze there, and that is why it's called Govardhan. Govardhan, he helps us to raise the cattle, cows. So there was argument, and then finally Krishna said, no, we should worship Govardhan. Nanda Maharaj said, no, we'll worship Indra and we'll have another worship of Govardhan. Krishna said, no, why to waste time? Already everything is ready. Just use the same things for Govardhan. No, we'll have separate one for, we'll have together one for Govardhan, one for Indra. No, we must only for Govardhan. So finally, the son dragged the father to a decision which he wanted to execute. Another reason why Nanda Maharaj accepted, because Krishna, when he speaks, it is so mesmerizing that finally nobody can resist what Krishna says. A small boy, 7-year-old, supposed to be very naughty and playful, convinced the all assembly of elderly gopas, coward boys, coward men, and they changed the whole entire plan which was going on for years together, for that year. So immediately everybody got engaged into preparation for worshipping Govardhan. And Krishna specifically ordered that, please make mountains of prasad, bhoga. Mountains of prasad. We should make lakes of kheer, should make lakes of dahi, should make lakes of dal preparations and soups, and should make mountains of rice, mountains of laddus and sweetmeats, and all kinds of variety of preparations of cakes and sandesh. He gave a big list how that should be offered. And very amazingly, the inspiration was so high that the Brajvasi is actually used every single ingredient in their kitchen and in their store. And they stocked the grains for the whole year. But they were so inspired that they didn't think tomorrow what we'll eat. But today they took out everything, including everything from the grain stores and everything. And they used every single material like ghee and oils and everything. Dry fruits and vegetables. Just to make mountains and mountains and mountains of prasad. And they put everything in bullock carts. There's one place called Kundwada here. Kundwada is in Jatipura. In that place, actually they cooked. It is a place where Brajvasis cooked for Krishna, for Govardhan. So this is very special prasad. I have not tasted more tasty prasad anywhere than that place. I have taken prasadam in all over in Govardhan, many places. But that place, when it is cooked there, the bhav is Brajvasis are cooking for Krishna. And then it is offered to the Govardhan there. So it was brought to the bottom of Govardhan. They call it a Talaiti. Talaiti means the bottom of Govardhan. And all these mountains and mountains of prasadam were organized very beautifully, arranged over there. And at that time, Krishna said, first we will do parikrama of Govardhan. So led by Krishna, all the Brajvasis performed the divine parikrama, circumambulation of Sri Govardhan. And that time Govardhan was much, much, much bigger than what it was today, what it is today. And after that, Krishna said now to Brahmins that please offer this bhoga to Govardhan. So they started chanting the mantras, they offered tulsi, and suddenly Krishna, who was with them, became Govardhan. He expanded himself and he became Govardhan himself. So he was with all the coward boys and coward men as a small baby Krishna, 7-year-old, and he also became Govardhan, the gigantic form. And within flash of a second, he just gulped everything. Like a child will put a small, peda in the mouth. Like that he just picked up all the mountains and quickly put in mouth everything, and everything was finished within few seconds. And not only that, he started shouting, Aniyor, 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 give me more, give me more, give me more. Brajvasis had afforded everything what they had, surrendered everything. So what to do? And Krishna was satisfied with the love and devotion of the Brajvasis. And lo and behold, in front of the eyes of everybody, Govardhan, Sri Krishna, Govardhan himself, reproduced every single item that he had consumed. So all that they offered, now was re-manifested there again as the divine prasad of the Lord. So it went in the Lord and again it was manifested outside by the Lord. And then Sri Krishna narrated in details how that prasadam should be distributed, how they should serve the saintly personalities, the Brahmins, then the young children, and the old people, and the ladies, and the invalids, the cows, everything in detail, in sequence, ordered, and then it was distributed that way. So that was the day of Govardhan Puja, which is today. On today's day, the most joyful, most happy and most blissful event took place. And there was no dearth of food anywhere. Everything was available in abundance. There was no question of begging for more. There was more and more and more available. And something of this kind we experienced 2 years back when we came here. 2008 when we came here, the Gurudev Radhanath Swami Maharaj organized for the first time in the history of our movement to cook the food, bhoga, at the bottom of Govardhan only. There itself, around 4,500 yatris had come. And they had set up a huge kitchen. There also a marketplace where sabjis were kept, grains were kept, everything was kept, ghee was kept, all ingredients possible, all kinds of ingredients, costly and simple and local. Everything was made available. There was a hart, you know, hart means it's a bazaar. Devotees would go and pick up vegetables without any cost, free of charge. Pick up ingredients, pick up dal, pick up chawal, pick up ghee, pick up oils, and they would go, and there was about hundreds of burners were arranged underground. And they're all made of lakdi, 3 bricks and wood and fire. One lady also got fire in that. She was saved instantly by devotees. Hundreds of fires on the ground, and devotees were busy cooking. From middle of the night, they began cooking and went on till 10 o'clock in the morning. And they had made huge amounts of preparations. So many items they had made that nobody could count. There was a party who were collecting the cooked items, the party who were cooking, the party who were selling, you know, under a tree, they had put a shop. So beautiful scene. And very beautifully they cooked all the items, and there was a team of devotees after receiving, separate team was guarded by danda holders from monkeys. And they were they were so well planned, you know. There were many devotees holding danda only, guarding the bhoga, covered with cloth, carrying towards Govardhan. And they were under protection of many, many danda holders surrounding the whole area, guarding as a fence. They arranged everything. And then everybody sat down after all the items were brought at the bottom of Govardhan, near Dan Nivartan Kunda, in front of Anur Road. And everybody sang beautiful songs of the food to be offered to the Lord. Everybody that turned their faces away from the food, and they sang beautiful songs under the leadership of Radhanath Swami and many other sannyasis. And long time the bhoga was kept there, and then it was removed. And specifically Radhanath Swami instructed that all the fruits and vegetables that are there, they should be offered to monkeys. They should not starve the monkeys who have been lusting over it for a long time. So they were shooed away till the offering was done. After the offering was done, special part of all the fruits were personally served to the monkeys, and they were satisfied. And lo and behold, when we sat for eating, at least I had 2 plates, full prasad. And many of them had, next to me also. There were so many items that 2 plates were not sufficient, like the plates that we have every day now to eat. And any item you wanted, we would say, ki ye limited hai, jalebi do hi milegi. अरे वो मोहन था लेके मिलेगा और वो रसमलाई दो ही मिलेंगे, ऐसे कभी कभी होता है. बट दैट डे वॉट एवर यू वॉन्टेड बिफोर यू आस्ट दे वर अवेलेबल एट योर प्लेस वेर यूर ईटिंग. आई कुंड इमेजिन नो. एंड देन वी वर फेड सो मच एंड डिवोटीज वर कमिंग विद प्लेट फुल्स ऑफ एक्सोटिक आइटम्स एंड आस्किंग अस प्लीज टेक मोर, प्लीज टेक मोर. व्हाट डज इट मीन टू एक्सपीरियंस सच अ सिचुएशन यू नो. जनरली वेन एवर वी गो टू पार्टीज वी आर टोल्ड कि दिस इज लिमिटेड ना, इसको थोड़ा थोड़ा देना, ये सब्जी बहुत कॉस्टली है, थोड़ा सा एक ही चम्मच देना, और मांगे तो एक ही कण देना उसको, ऐसे कभी कभी होता है. इट्स अ वेरी रेयर सिचुएशन टू फाइंड दैट एवरी आइटम कॉस्टली और चीप, एग्जॉटिक और सिंपल, is available in abundance. And not only you are asking and begging for it, please give me more. They are coming and begging you, please take more and take more and take more. So what I did was I made another plate, third plate, to be carried to home. After my bag was full, I thought I'll keep another bag to carry home and fill my first bag by going home. So many items were filled in that also. They were taking, take and take. These are dry items. You can take more and more and more. I don't know how many sabjis were there, how many sweets were there, how many rice items were there, how many chapati items and paratha and kulcha and naan and this and that. Cannot imagine. So something that happened during Krishna's Govardhan Puja, some glimpse of that was made available. Okay, what would have been the situation? Everybody was so happy that day when Krishna fed everybody. Every single person, Brahmins, old people, young people, children, invalids, women, everybody was fed to the heart's content, and there was still abundance of food. And the cows were fed, the monkeys were fed, and the peacocks were fed, and everybody was fed. Still there were abundance of food. And to the surprise of everybody, when they went back home, fully satisfied, their godowns also were full, like before. What they emptied to last brim, last grain, they also appeared to be completely full in abundance. That is Sri Krishna. When we give Sri Krishna, we should not worry, oh, what will happen to my stocks? Will my stocks crash? No, when we give Sri Krishna our stocks, kya bolte isko? Appreciate. That is the language they use. The stocks appreciate. There was a lady who came to Nandgaon to sell fruits to Krishna, actually to Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna came along with the mother. And then he know that there's a barter system. You take fruits and you give grains, or you take fruits or vegetables and you give some jewels or something like that, whatever you have, barter system. So he went with Mother Yashoda carrying some grains. He just put his lotus small hands into rice bags and picked up whatever rice he could pick up, and so many of them were falling down from the gaps of his hands, and he was carrying, came with Mother Yashoda and gave those grains to that fruit vendor. And by the time he reached the fruit vendor, there were only few grains remaining in his hands. Everything was spilling over. And the fruit vendor was so much mesmerized by the beauty of this charming boy, charming blue boy of Nandgaon, that she offered him the full basket of fruits without considering whether he was giving enough grains in bartering system. She just offered actually everything what she had. And Krishna has so small hands, you know, he was trying to put those fruits resting on his chest, supported by his arms. And how many he can hold? So many fruits were falling down. He was trying to go back. So this lady who came to sell the fruits was completely mesmerized. She just couldn't blink her eyes also. She kept on looking at Krishna. It's a beautiful form of Sri Krishna as a baby. And then what happened? After some time she came back to her external consciousness from ecstasy back to normal. And she saw her supposed to be empty basket of fruits. It was filled with extraordinary jewelry, filled to the brim. Millions of times multiplied what the value of the fruits were. So what we learn from this story, that when we give Krishna, we don't lose. When we offer anything to the Supreme Lord in sacrifice, we never lose, but we get in multiples, in abundance, in return. And still devotees do not give him to get that multiples in return. There's no material consciousness behind that. Okay, I've heard in Krishna's story that he filled up the fruit vendor's basket with all the jewelry. Let me offer some fruits and get the basket full of jewelry from Krishna. That is not the mood of devotees. And the devotees, when the fruit vendor offered those fruits, she never even dreamt that anything of this sort will happen. But nonetheless, it happened. Because she was dealing with Krishna. We are not dealing with any material personality, so-called opulent and influential. We are dealing with the supreme personality of Godhead. Everything belongs to him. What we can offer him? Even the fruits which fruit vendor gave also belong to him only. So what was belonging to fruit vendor? The devotion and the love and the affection. We only can offer that to the Lord. Rest, everything belongs to Lord only. All the items that we have to offer to Lord, everything belongs to him. So then, they all went back happily, satisfied, having nice prasadam. And it was not the end. The story never ended there. Something else at some other scene was happening. In the Swargaloka, Indra was boiling with anger. And he said, these elderly so-called learned men in Vrindavan Dham have this time listened to a naughty 7-year-old boy who can't even speak properly, who speaks broken language. What intelligence that boy must be having. But all these so-called intelligent men listen to that boy and change the whole plan and abandon my services and serve that wretched mountain which is full of stones without knowing my glory. Now I will show them what I can do and what my power is. It's called Samvartaka clouds. Samvartaka cloud means clouds of devastation, not ordinary Savan Bhado rain. That is just to grow the crops. Samvartaka means destruction, pralaya. Said, oh clouds, go and destroy Brajbhumi. Nobody should survive. Every living entity in Brajbhumi, every cow, every Brajbhumi, coward boy should be destroyed. But the Samvartaka cloud said, oh my lord Indra, this is not time for pralaya. This is not time for devastation, annihilation. There is still time for that. I say you go. Follow my instructions. I am following you immediately. So they had to obey the order. They went to Brajbhumi selectively, you know. Selective destruction. And they started pouring rains like anything. It is said that today's Dvitiya, you know. Yeah, I think Pratipada or Dvitiya. From now onwards, 7 days Krishna lifted the mountain. And on Ekadashi day, 11th day of this month, he kept the mountain down. And on 12th day, Indra surrendered to him. Brought the cow with him, Surabhi, and surrendered to him. And then on the 13th or 14th day, he was bathed by demigods. So whole Kartik month is filled with wonderful pastimes. Today is Govardhan Puja day, tomorrow onwards, lifting of Govardhan Leela starts. 7 days and 7 nights. Every day you can meditate for the next 7 days that Krishna is still holding the mountain with the weakest part of his hand, the last finger, playing his flute of another hand, looking at his devotees, glancing over there, right and left. Gopis on one side, coward boys on the other side, father and mother on the other side, Radharani on the other side, Balramji on the third side. Everybody looking at him like mad, completely maddened by the beauty of Krishna. How could they survive 7 days? Nobody asked for breakfast, nobody asked for dinner, nobody asked for small and big break, nobody asked for sleep. Everybody was completely awake, alert, to their fullest consciousness, not only awake, not only struggling, they were simply immersed in drinking the nectar of the beauty of the Lord through the cups of their eyes, filling their hearts, completely in bliss. Nothing even could touch them, the thought of hunger or thirst or anything else. Why? What is the reason? Because Krishna's exclusive four qualities are his beauty, his playing flute, his performing pastimes, and what else? His Naam. Is that right? No, Naam? No. He's playing flute. He's playing flute, his performing pastimes, his loving of devotees, Prema Madhurya. And his pastimes, you know. So one of them is beauty, Rupa Madhurya. Exclusive beauty, nobody can match. Not even any other incarnation of Krishna can match. So that beautiful form of the Lord was standing in threefold bending form. Not only that, he was playing his flute by one hand. And not only that, uniquely, for once and for all, only one time, he was holding also Govardhan in the left hand. And so beautifully, attractively, he was standing and playing his flute. And everybody was thinking, may the mountain will fall down, you know. Such a small boy, such a small hand. He must be tired now. He has not taken butter and milk and the yogurt and butter for a long time. So Mother Yashoda was telling, oh, Kanha, you must be tired and hungry. Take some butter, take some milk. How do you get strength to continue lifting the mountain? Some of the gopis said, let me go and massage his left hand. You know, he must be very tired. Hand must be, exhausted. Some of them came and put some sticks there as a support. Some elderly men thought that, oh, how can he such a small boy lift mountain? It will fall down. So let us give our sticks and support. So all the elderly men thought, we will support. And for some time they were thinking that we are supporting. Actually we are holding. He is just, you know, doing some acting in between. So Krishna tilted the mountain. And everybody felt, oh, it is not us. It is he only lifting. And the cowherd boy started saying that, you know, we are teaching him wrestling every single day. Our Sudama even defeats him every single day. And because we have trained him in Kushti every day, he is today able to lift the mountain. But Mother Yashoda is thinking, no, they are all small children. They don't know what is the secret behind all these things. I am making special butter from the 100 Padmagandha cows whose milk smells like lotus flower. And I am making yogurt and I am making butter from that milk, exclusive milk. And that milk and butter and yogurt he is eating through my lotus hands. And that is why he has got strength to lift mountain. But gopis are also laughing in their mind and they are saying, no, neither these cowherd boys nor Mother Yashoda know what is the reason behind his strength of being able to lift Govardhan. So they were thinking it is because Radharani is glancing at him with sidelong glances. Tircha Kataksh. Just because she is glancing at him, all the power in the world is coming to his hands and he is able to sustain the mountain on his left hand, last finger. So they heard cowherd boys discussing, gopis discussing this. They said, really? What is the proof of that? He said, we will tell you afterwards. When this ends, we will tell you how it was possible. So after 7 days, then Krishna, then Indra came to his senses, became repentful. And he tried to come down on his elephant carrier Airavata. And he felt Krishna is not looking at him. He already was repentful. He stopped the reins and he came to plead. But Krishna wouldn't even look at him, even one glance also. He came on other side, one side, third side, fourth side. All sides he tried to attract the attention of Krishna, but Krishna would not even look at him. And then he was frustrated. He went to his guru, Brihaspati, in Swargaloka and begged him, please tell me now, I understood I have performed a big sin. Please tell me the method of curing myself. He said, you have to take shelter of a devotee of the Lord. So Brihaspati advised him, go to Surubhi cow. It was a very simple-hearted devotee, cow of the devotee of the Lord. So the Lord of all demigods, all Swargalokas, all heavenly kingdoms fell at the feet of an ordinary cow, the great devotee of the Lord. Surrendered himself and put a plea, please, plead for me to Krishna on my behalf. So she very happily took Indra and went to Krishna. And Krishna by that time was beholding the beautiful land of Brajbhumi, looking for any damage was done by Indra's reins. So just inspection. And that time Surubhi brought Indra to Krishna. And the first time, because Surubhi requested, Krishna looked at him. And he was truly repentful. And because he was repentful truly from the bottom of the heart, with full realization, and because he was brought by a devotee of Krishna himself, that is why Krishna forgave him. So you have to understand that we may commit many mistakes in life, but our repentance has to be complete. It cannot be show bottle. It cannot be intellectual. It cannot be theoretical because you have heard something. It cannot be superficial. It has to be from the bottom of the heart. So Jesus said, repent, repent, everybody repent. Otherwise you will not receive the mercy of the Lord. So repentance is defined that when you repent for something, you are also ordered not to repeat again. You can't do it and once repent heartfully and do the same thing again. And again, repent heartfully for that. Now, repentance heartfully means not to do it again. So, because Indra was warned, ever you do it again, you will suffer the reaction of that. So, Indra promised. And Indra understood that he made a grievous offense. He tried to destroy the devotees of the Lord along with his cows, along with his dham of Vrindavan. So, really offered prayers for tears of repentance, and then he wanted to do Abhishek of Krishna. So he performed a great bathing ceremony of Krishna, most opulent, most beautiful ceremony, with the best of all things from all his subordinates, planets, you know, Vayudev, the demigod of Vayu brought his chhatri, the umbrella. Varun Dev brought the singhasan, bedecked with jewels. Airavata went to Akash Ganga and brought waters of Akash Ganga, celestial Ganga. And Surabhi cow poured her milk in the pond. Apsaras came and poured their waters, and jewels and fanning and every single most opulent things were brought down. And Krishna was bathed very ceremoniously with the cow, with the milk of Surabhi cows and the water of Akash Ganga, celestial Ganga, by the Airavata. And all the water collected and Govind Kunda was formed. Little later, the Brajvasi came to see the remnants of this event and they saw all the opulent things. But Brajvasi boys thought that we must also bathe Krishna. So they bathed Krishna with simple arrangements. And Krishna explains in one scripture that I was very happy, more happy and more happy with the bathings done by my cowherd friends in Vrindavan. I also was happy when Indra bathed me, but that was insignificant compared to the pleasure when my friends bathed me. So ultimately, opulence cannot please Krishna. Opulence is all his only. No? The chhatri which Vayudev had, and the Ratna Singhasan which Varundev had, and all the other opulent paraphernalia, ingredients, were all the property of the Lord given to them by the Lord only. So what is there to impress with that? What can be impressible is only the emotions of the heart, the devotion and the simplicity. And that the cowherd boys had in abundance, along with the love of their heart. And they offered, and Krishna was very satisfied. So this is in brief the story of Govardhan Puja and Govardhan Leela. Many, many lessons to learn. That Bible also explains, pride comes before fall. Indra was proud, thinking himself to be very powerful. That is why that year Krishna came and convinced his father to change the plan of puja from Indra to Govardhan. He wanted to save his devotee. He didn't want to punish him actually. When the Lord actually performed this pastime, Indra actually was saved. He was not punished. He was saved from the disease of pride. When the pride went away and the true repentance came, he achieved the mercy of the Lord. So we also have some possessions and some influence and some power and some subordinates and some facilities and some servants and some followers and some beauty. And very easy to become proud, you know. With a little flickering wealth, we become so proud in this world. What is our wealth compared to Indra? We maybe appear like people standing with begging bowls compared to Indra's wealth. But that wealth also is insignificant compared to the wealth of Lakshmi Devi. And such millions of Lakshmis serve Vishnu. So what must be Vishnu's wealth? And such millions of Vishnus are expansions of Sri Krishna in spiritual world. What is the wealth of spiritual world? What is there to be proud of with our wealth? So with knowledge we understand that we are insignificant. And immediately pride goes away. So we have to always think that Gauranga Prabhu was explaining that upadis, you know, designations, they make us proud. I am the director, I am the manager, I am the doctor, I am father, I am the owner of this house, this car belongs to me, this FDs are mine, this property is mine. But everything is like jugnu, glowworms, compared to the sun, like wealth of Lord Sri Krishna. So what the glowworms will show their light in front of sun? When sun comes, glowworms are there still, but they don't even appear to be existing. So, we have to learn that this pride is our biggest enemy. This pride bewildered Indra. And when the bewilderment takes place, one doesn't understand what he is doing. Untimely, he sent Samvartaka clouds. And that too, he wanted to destroy the kingdom of his God, which he could not do anyways. He could never do that. But he attempted to do that. Jiski mati bhrasht ho jati hai, woh aisa kaam karta hai. And when the intelligence can get bewildered and destroyed is when you become proud. In the heat of pride, everything good disappears. Everything that is laudable and desirable gets destroyed. And everything unwanted starts manifesting even if it is not existing in you. So we have to pray to the Lord to free us from this plight. the pride or the lust or the anger or greed, envy cannot be cured by our efforts. We can desire and do our efforts, but we have to convince the Lord, "Oh my Lord, please free us from this." Lust, anger, greed, intoxication, illusion and envy are the six big enemies. And all these enemies are the products of pride. And pride comes, automatically lust, anger, greed, envy, everything comes in picture. So you have to pray to the Lord. Don't think that pride will go automatically. You have to consciously, every moment, every day, keep making efforts and prayers consciously to get freed from the pride. Only understanding that it will be freed by the mercy of the Lord. We can't take out the tumor from gallbladder on our own. We need a surgeon who will put you under anesthesia and remove the whole tumor, and you are becoming conscious only after everything is over. And little pale will remain. What if you are cut open when you are alive, awake, and tumor is erupted and taken out, excavated from your body? How much agony will be there? But when we pray to the Lord, the tumor of pride is removed, but under the loving anesthesia of the Lord's devotees. And then we won't even know. When we submit ourselves to devotees in the form of Gurudev and Vaishnavas, then we get freed from this contamination of pride. So let us pray to Govardhan today, to Sri Krishna today, to free us from this pride, the worst enemy of living entity, which manifests into wrath of lust and anger afterwards, destroying our spiritual existence and possibilities of liberation, the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.